Hello, everyone. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Professor Greg Stevens. This is our class, our audience. Greet yourself. Say hello, everybody. Here we go. Welcome. I want to say thank you to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for inviting me to be on these broadcasts last week and this week. I am so honored to sit at this desk and teach the Word of God to you, and that all of you, that I pray that you have ears to hear. The Copelands have preached the Word of Faith throughout the BVOV broadcast. Are you ready for this? For 45 years. 45 years, starting with the weekly broadcast and then airing for 35 years on this daily broadcast. I'm telling you, it's changed generations of families around the world, across the globe. And just so humbling and such an honor to sit here in his place. Brother Copeland, I thank you for that, for your trust in me to do that. Let's bless them, will you? Lord, I thank you for all the years and the decades of service by the Copelands. I thank you for the word that you taught them being preached from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Lord, I thank you for their example. I thank you for their love. I thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you that even now you're pouring your spirit out upon them. You're blessing them. You're giving them favor with you and with man. I thank you that we're covenant partners with them. Amen. I thank you for a million covenant partners with this ministry and with them in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Okay, we got a lot to cover today. I'm going to talk to you about a most unusual partnership. We've been looking at partners and how that people would partner with God. People would partner with one another, sometimes not knowing that little agreement that made, that little support for one another will not only transform their life, it'll transform the lives of generations to come. And I'll tell you, it's doing the same thing for you. When you partner with a ministry, you partner with somebody else. I'm just going to say it. When you partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you're changing the course and direction of not only your life, but of generations to come. People you'll meet in heaven from around the world because you were a partner. Amen. All right, let's take a look at this. Let's go over to the Gospel of John, the disciple whom the Lord loved. And we're going to go after that series of instructions, final instructions of Jesus during that Passover Seder, times in the garden when he was crucified. And this is after he dies. And in John chapter 19, let's go to verse 38. Verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now, he's a disciple, but secretly. Okay? And he's got influence. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, I'll go ahead and tell you that. Gets in and talks to Pilate. Verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first, notice at first, pay attention to that. Might want to underline that. At first came to Jesus by night, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. That's a lot of spices he brought. They didn't just go to visit, they came with 100 pounds. Worth of spices. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, a lot of people don't realize Nicodemus was with him or that he was part of this. So the two partnered together for the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Normally, in a Roman crucifixion, it takes a long time. That's why they came to break their legs, to get it over with quicker. Pilate, if you read another account, Pilate was even surprised, is he already dead? And he sends somebody to go find out. And they said, yeah, you can have his body. What's interesting there is they would usually not bury people that were crucified. They'd just leave them hanging there to rot. Let the birds of the air come and eat on them. And then they would take whatever was left and just throw it out into the wilderness or out into a field. Well, that didn't happen here. They came and they besought Pilate to have his body. So these two men Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are influential. Can you see that?
Yeah.
To even be able to get in to see Pilate is a big deal. Okay, so let's look at this. He's a member. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. How do I know that? Let's go over to John chapter 3. Let me go to John chapter 3, and you'll meet an encounter. Now, John covers just a little bit of the life of Jesus and his ministry. He's going to start with the first 2 years in Jesus' ministry, and then he'll end with that last week primarily. Chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees, pay attention to that, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he's a Pharisee. Pharisees and Sadducees are not the same thing. During the time of Jesus, there was Herodian Jews. There were Sadducee Jews, Pharisee Jews. There were Essenes. There were scribes. There were Samaritan Jews. So you had several different groups in the time of Jesus. I liken it in my mind to be able to understand it, different denominations. All right? There came a man of the Pharisees, teachers of the law, teachers of the word, that's what they are, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, he's a Pharisee, but he's also a member of the Sanhedrin. How do I know that? He's a ruler. So this is a member of the court, of the Sanhedrin. So is Joseph of Arimathea. Now, they're not Sadducees, they're Pharisees. You can't be a Pharisee and a Sadducee. They're one or the other. All right. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, that's a fair question. That's a good question. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. He that heareth the sound of it thereof, but can't tell from where it cometh, where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel, and you know not these things? So Nicodemus is very educated, very learned, very important, comes to him by night because he doesn't want anybody to see that he's talking to him. So he's a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. Pharisees are teachers of the law. Sadducees were the rulers of the law. Now, Paul is a Pharisee, but he's doing the bidding and the work of the Sadducees. Give me papers that I can go get these people arrested, that I can beat these people, or whatever. You see what I'm saying? You can't be a Pharisee and a Sadducee because they're different doctrinally. All right, this man comes to Jesus by night. He doesn't want his friends to know. He's talking to him. Rabbi, teacher, we know you're from God because of the signs we see. Now, he's not Levite. You know, he's looking at him. Well, we talked about that last week. How did you learn all this stuff? Remember when he was 12, they marveled at the knowledge that he had. Now, it's important because this is important conversation because Pharisees believe in a resurrection. Sadducees don't. That's why they're sad, you see. But he believes in a resurrection. And unless one is born again, and the Greek says this way, unless one is born from above. So he's talking about a spiritual thing when Nicodemus is looking at a physical thing. You run into that with people all the time today. You're trying to speak spirit to them, and they're in physical. So Jesus changes and talks that way as well. He says something divine. Nicodemus now is on a human level. He's not accepted Christ yet. So he asks a human question. Jesus always answers people the way they ask him things. If you pay attention to that, you'll see that in his life. If you come to him a certain way, he's going to answer you that way. If you came to Jesus with a question of the law, he would answer you from the law. All right, let's go on. He comes back with the answer. Jesus answered, "Most surely I say to you, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God." Now, there are some people that believe that refers to water baptism. It doesn't refer to water baptism there. That's not the context. The context is natural birth and spiritual birth. So, how do I know it's natural birth? Because Nicodemus asked, "Do I go back into my mother's womb?" If your wife says to you, "My water broke," right? That means we go now to the hospital, right? We don't go through a drive-thru somewhere. We should have gas in the car already. I don't need to stop and get, we need to go now, right? So we know he's talking about natural water here in birth. Verse 6, Jesus says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you." And watch this. You must, not you should. This is not just good advice. This is good news. You must be born again. You've been born once. You must be born again. You've been born naturally. Now you need to be born spiritually. That's what this whole topic is about. You've been born a human, but now you need to be born of the divine person himself. The Spirit of God breathed in the life into you. Your spirit become alive. He's talking. Now, remember who he's talking to here. He's talking to a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin at night. This is a church member. This is a church leader that he's talking to. Put in our, this is not just some Joe on the street. And Jesus answers him that way. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Oh, brace yourself. Here we go. Mark, the 10th chapter, and verse 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him, asking him," pay attention to the wording, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good, but that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these I've observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Not mad at him. He loved him. And he said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, I don't know if this is the first encounter or what the one we read a moment ago by night was the first encounter. But most theologians, many theologians, and I kind of lean this way, just saying, and I'm not saying definitively this is him. I believe that this rich young ruler is Nicodemus. I believe that because of historical cases and things that are said. Many theologians believe that. We base that belief on the Bible, obviously, the inspired word of God, his writings. We get all of our knowledge from that, but there are a couple of other historical writers that we can turn to get context of things. One of those, they're both Christians, trusted by secular historians as well. One of those is Flavius Josephus. Josephus lived from 37 AD to about 100 AD. And Tertullian, who lived from 155 to 220 AD. Back to this encounter. I'm going to quote them in just a minute. Back to this encounter. Nicodemus, this guy right here, will call him teacher. He will have met him in the night in the previous one. This one's not at night. Now, remember, Jesus said you can't have eternal life unless you're born of heaven, right? "You know the commandments," he says in this case. He only named 6 of the 10. Didn't even do all 10 of them. And he answered and said, this is why I believe it was Nicodemus right here, one reason from scripture. "Teacher," called him that again. calls him teacher. In John 3, he called him teacher. These things I've kept for my youth. All of this aligns with historical writings about Nicodemus. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor. Now watch this. You'll have treasure in heaven. If you're a giver, if you're a partner, and come take up your cross and follow me. Now that's another, that's a salvation thing. You see that? But he was sad at the word and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He didn't say to go to heaven, you have to sell everything. It's not what he said. He said, if you sell everything and give to the poor, if you're a giver, if you become a partner, if you take up your cross and follow me, you become a partner. Listen, if the Lord told you right now, sell everything you have, you might go away sad. Come on, just be honest with you. I've had him require things of me before, and for a brief moment, I had to renew my mind. I rebuked him the first time I heard it. Now get thee behind me. And then, I know that's the Spirit of the Lord. I know that's you talking to me. There's one thing that's keeping you. Here's what he said. If it's Nicodemus, there's one thing that's keeping you from taking up your cross and following me. There's one thing keeping you from being a full partner with me. And that is your trust in your great possessions and your position. My God. John chapter 7. Let's go to John chapter 7. You okay?
Yes.
All right. I didn't mean to knock over any sacred cows, but it happens when I'm around. John chapter 7. Let's look at verse 45. Because we're going to get Nicodemus speaking up again. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? This is the chief priests. We're talking Sanhedrin here and Pharisees. Verse 46 of John chapter 5. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them, the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers, Sanhedrin, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? That would be Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. He's talking about all this, these riffraff that are following Jesus around. They don't know the law. They don't know the word of God. They're being deceived by him. Verse 50. Here he is again. You see him? You see it in your Bible? Yes. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. One of what? One of the Pharisees, one of the Sanhedrin. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? So now, how many of you didn't know, be honest with me, that Nicodemus is mentioned more than once here? He's mentioned when he comes to him by night. He's mentioned right here defending Jesus. And he's mentioned in going to get the body of Jesus. I got three occasions of this guy showing up. You'll have treasure in heaven. Now, let me show you something here. They send officers to arrest him. This would have been the Sanhedrin. Then the Pharisees answered, are you also deceived? So he's making defense for him. Why would this guy who was afraid of him one time and came at night all of a sudden in front of everybody be making a defense for him? Something happened. Something changed. He's one of them. But out of the Sanhedrin and all the Pharisees, Nicodemus is the one guy that speaks up. Let me show you again. Let's go to John 19 real fast. Short on time here today. John 19 and verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. That's when he went to get the body of Jesus Christ. Notice, he first came by night. That was one of their first encounters. That was one of their other encounters. They may have had another encounter if he is that rich young ruler. So I'm thinking, my belief, this is my belief. I'm not saying this is the belief of Kenneth Copeland Ministries or anybody else. Based on the training that I've had, Bible college and seminary, that's the same guy. I'm going to read to you from Adam Clark's commentary. A person of the name of Nicodemus, son of Gorion, is mentioned in the Jewish writings. Adam Clark commentary was reputed to be so rich that he could support all the inhabitants of Jerusalem for 10 years. That's what Josephus said about him. Now, Nelson Bible Dictionary, Christian tradition has it that Nicodemus was baptized by Peter and John. From McClintock and Strong Encyclopedia of the Bible, we can easily believe the tradition that after the resurrection, he, Nicodemus, became a professed disciple of Jesus Christ, received baptism at the hands of Peter and John. It's said that the Jews, in revenge for his conversion, deprived him of his office, beat him cruelly, and drove him out of Jerusalem. From the New Ungers Bible Dictionary, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, was counted as one of the three richest men of Jerusalem. But it was said that afterward he became poor. How did he become poor? If he was the richest man, one of the three richest men in Jerusalem, so rich he could have fed the town for 10 years, how did he become poor? He did it. I said he did it. Jesus said, sell what you have and give to the poor. We think he walked away and went to hell because he was sad. No. He was sad at that moment. I believe he did it. And I believe the reason he went with Joseph of Arimathea in a partnership to get the Bible, the body of Jesus, the reason he did it, why did they bury him in Joseph's tomb? Well, maybe Nicodemus had already sold his. But there he is. I believe he did it. I believe he did what Jesus asked him to do. It is also said that later on in his life, his daughter was gleaning from the fields. Just like Ruth and Naomi, you can find that in that Unger's Bible Dictionary. What I'm trying to tell you is partnership. The most unusual partnership happened between two members of the Sanhedrin court to get the body of Jesus. If Nicodemus is that wealthy and he's that guy, he would have definitely had access to Pilate. Because your gift will make room for you, bring you before great men and rulers. I just wanted to show you today an unusual partnership in the life of Jesus to prepare his body for the grave. It's only going to be there for 3 days. We'll be back in just a moment. Amen. Glory to God.
Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Get the Power of Covenant and Partnership Package, a book called God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stevens, and a mini book by Kenneth Copeland called Partnership and Power, Making the Connection. And learn about this God-ordained source of blessing and power. Through covenant in Jesus, everything he has is yours. In the same way, when believers partner together, we share in each other's giftings. From marriage and family to business to ministry, learn to receive by faith the blessing and anointing that comes through covenant partnership. Dive into these special resources and begin receiving those benefits today. Order the Power of Covenant and Partnership Package for only $21.99 on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Shipping charges may apply.
Welcome to KCM.org, your study center for victory. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith and the one-year Bible plan every day. Keep up with culturally relevant articles and free downloads on the blog. Click through interactive issues of the BVOV magazine with links to videos and further reading. Follow along with the question of the day. Face tough questions with answers based firmly on the Bible. Get a faith boost by reading testimonies of real-life success stories from people just like you. KCM.org meets you where you are.
I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and I want to talk to you about something today. I want to talk to you about the most important decision that you'll ever make. I made that decision some 50 years ago. I was by myself in my parents' home. People had been witnessing to me, talking to me about Jesus, and just one day it all came together. And I came before him and I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And I literally felt a wind that blew through me. He was cleansing me. He was washing me. And from that point on in my life, I have served him all of these years. And you know something? He's never let me down. He's always been so faithful to me. And I know that my life has turned out differently because I made that decision. Perhaps you've already done that, or maybe you haven't. Well, today is your day, and this is your moment to do it, to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Pastor George, how do you do that? It's very simple. It says it here in Romans chapter 10. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Today is your day. I want to lead you in that. I want to usher you into a life that you've never experienced before, and a life that will bring you right on into heaven. And so say this after me. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me now with your precious Holy Spirit. Take my life and do something magnificent with it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you do that? Did you just pray with me? If you did, go to kcm.org/salvation, and we have a book for you called He Did It All For You. And you can begin your journey right now with Jesus as your Lord and your Savior.
Welcome back. Kenneth Copeland Ministries' mission statement is to minister the word of faith by teaching believers who they are in Christ Jesus, taking them from the milk of the word to the meat and from religion to reality. A great way to build your faith is come to the Southwest Believers Convention. You agree?
Yes.
It's fabulous. This is KCM's big hometown meeting in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. You can join us July the 29th through August the 3rd for 6 power-packed days of total immersion in God's word. We call it drinking out of the fire hose. Amen. Amen. And you should come now. That's just right around the corner. Come and build your faith and receive revelation from God. This will be a time for you and your family to find faith, vision, and victory. For all the information and to register for this free event, go to kcm.org/events. And I'll see you again tomorrow. This is Professor Greg Stevens reminding you with the class that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Amen. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
If you received Jesus into your heart and made Him the Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation.